don't need to worry. Summer came like cinnamon, so sweet.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to talk a little bit now. You know, it wasn't so long ago that there was a conversation and talk about expanding the United States Supreme Court. And in the outrage, that the Republican Party had with what they call court packing. Never mind that they have packed the courts. They have certainly packed the United States Supreme Court, and decisions that are being made about democracy, especially with since Mitch McConnell, and going back to when Mitch McConnell was the guy. Mitch McConnell. Okay, yeah, but going back to when Mitch McConnell was, the Senate Majority Leader, we've seen what has happened, and make no mistake about it. At the root of all of the things that have happened and continue to happen right now in this country, the things that are detrimental to democracy, you can all lay at the foot of the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, that has been packed by Republicans under Donald Trump and others. So the conversation that has gone away is whether or not Democrats should add Supreme Court justices to balance out what Republicans have done. And so there's a new conversation, and I'm glad it's back because it's been going away for some time. And it says Dems need to expand Supreme Court to counter the conservative assault on democracy. So you can lay at the foot of what is taking place and the fact that democracy is slipping away from the grasp of the average everyday person, to the fact that conservatives have packed the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court decisions that are being made aren't in the interest of the people. All you have to do, if you disagree with that, is look at Roe versus Wade. You know, that's at the root of Roe versus Wade, and the decisions that were made happen to be Supreme Court justices who are Republican and conservative, and clearly aren't going to do what's in the best interest of the people. A Republican-dominated United States Supreme Court has been attacking American democracy for at least two decades, long before Donald Trump came along. This is an article in today's Raw Story. And Democrats have an urgent need to expand the court to rescue the country. So says Harvard Professor Michael J. Clareman, a national expert who has been calling publicly for court expansion since 2018. I know that they vilified the thought of expanding the court and called it court packing. And President Joe Biden at the time was trying to do everything bipartisan. And he was trying to work with Republicans to address the issues that were impacting and affecting all of us as citizens of this country. And when the idea or the term adding justices to the court because the Democrats are in a position of power and leadership and could have gotten this done. They certainly could have gotten it done. It just required that all 50, United States Democratic senators would have voted yes. And then Vice President Kamala Harris would add her vote, and then that would have been it. But there was so much pushback during that time that people were outraged on the right, not on the left. Can you imagine what would have happened had Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin said yes? The things that could have gotten done and where we would be right now. And never mind, certainly Roe versus Wade would have never happened had the, and I don't like the term court packing, but that's the term that Republicans came up with. Again, never mind that under Donald Trump, they were able to move three Supreme Court justices in place at the same time that then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell during his time was able to say no to Merrick Garland when Barack Obama, then president, was floating him or nominating him as a Supreme Court justice. You take that away, and there would be a one, a one-person majority control over the Supreme Court, and we would see things in a different view. But when we have three, it's why we are able to are in the situation that we're in now. And so this professor, I'm going to read a couple questions that he was asked, and then we'll give a few answers to it. And our phone lines open, as always, at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 is the number. Question. You were calling publicly for an expansion of the United States Supreme Court as far back as 2018, well before most others. What prompted you to come to that conclusion? Answer. The precipitating event was Mitch McConnell's theft of the Scalia seat in 2016. I think the strongest argument for court expansion is a combination of McConnell essentially depriving Democrats of the first chance they had in 50 years to have a majority of the court, along with the structural changes that have given disproportional power to Republicans in recent decades. The Democrats have now won the popular vote for the presidency in 7 of the last 8 elections. The 50 Democratic senators represent 40 million more votes than the 50 Republican senators. But the Republicans have retained power over the court. My argument is not just that they stole a seat. It's that if you win with margins like this for the presidency and Senate, you ought to control the third branch of government. Question number two. Andy, why this solution? It's almost impossible to do anything about Electoral College or the Senate because you need a constitutional amendment, which is impossible to secure when there's a partisanship split. But you can do court expansion by statute. Democrats may not be able to do anything about the fact that they're not going to be able to control the presidency or the Senate as much as they should. The same is actually true about the House, but not as dramatically. But they certainly don't have to sit around and let that be true of the Supreme Court as well. You know, if you think about it and you listen to those numbers, and you know that there's something that's not right and something that's not just, and you know that the Republicans pull some shenanigans to make sure that they are in control of the Supreme Court now, unless something is done for a decade or more. And so all of the things that are impacting and affecting us right now as citizens that we don't like, and that we know are anti-democracy, there's only one way that we're going to ever be able to undo those things, and that's with expanding the United States Supreme Court, whether Kristen Sinema or whether Kristen Sinema or Joe Manchin care or not. We've got to bring that back to the forefront. That's got to be a debate and an argument that is brought back. Because unless we're able to somehow come up with a way to overturn that, It doesn't matter how many times we wind up going to the polls and voting. It doesn't matter how many times that Democrats can remain in control of the Senate. When those high-ticket items wind up at the United States Supreme Court's door, and the balance is 6-3, as it is now, very little hope at all that things are going to go in the right way or in a manner that is going to be what you and I need to make our lives better. Just not going to happen. So let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring my good friend Bill from Oconomowoc on. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Great. Good morning, Earl, and I love what you do. You're a great educator. Keep educating. But what you were just talking about with the Supreme Court, there is, and I know you know football, there's a play called the end around.
Yes.
I think we ought to pull an end around on this Supreme Court issue. And here's how we go about it. We have the ability in our state, it's hardly ever used, but it's got to start being used a lot now, to have a statewide referendum. Well, the right, the mega people say, oh, it's too expensive, we can't do that. They don't want to do it because then they will know the will of the people and the press will know the will of the people. And it's the press playing a big part of that. I think we should consider some referendums to get democracy back in our state and say some of these co-conspirators have to resign. Statewide referendum. Do you know what a firestorm that would be when it came out that they want these people out? The people, the state of Wisconsin, I don't care how big the Supreme Court is stacked, you can't argue with common sense. And common sense goes to the will of the people. And the will of the people is referendums or petitions. I'm going to hang up, and I want your thoughts. Have a good day. Oh,
Bill, hang on.
Okay.
You know... Your point is 100% accurate and valid. But how do we possibly then, Bill, because where we really need to see those changes are at the United States Supreme Court. And so how do we overcome that imbalance? I mean, the imbalance we're dealing with on the state level is one thing. Bill, can you hang on a second?
Sure.
Hang on. We've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. In Texas, that same number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I was talking about the fact that the United States Supreme Court and court packing, that was a conversation earlier this year. While Democrats were looking to undo the advantage that Republicans had used in packing the court. And so there's a conversation now that if Democrats don't pack the court, bring on more Supreme Court justices, that, in this imbalance. Six conservative justices and three, Democrats is going to be with us for a decade or more. And some may think that it'll be even more than that. You know, Bill, from Oconomowoc, Bill, you were saying again, repeat what you were saying.
Well, I was saying that we have a government that isn't for the people, as far as MEGA is concerned. And referendums and petitions will swing it our way. But as far as the court goes with the imbalance, they stack the court by design. So we look at them because right now we've got the power and the ability to do it and say, okay, we're going to balance the court out. We're not going to do what you guys did. We're going to balance it out. Now, let's say a hot topic issue comes and they go to a tie. It goes to the vice president, I believe, if I'm correct,
you're correct.
On a tie. Okay, so if they can't handle a balanced justice system in the U.S., they need to leave and get a condo next to Putin. All of them. All of them. Because they don't like democracy. They don't want the will of the people. They want to control the people, not be servants of the people. They don't understand serving. Trump can't even, I don't think he can spell it, let alone do it. They don't comprehend this. What do you think?
You know, Bill, after the break, I'm going to have a dialogue and a conversation with the audience about what brought up Trump. Why did this nation make the decision to bring a man like that into the White House? What was the thinking at that point in time?
Can I tell you? Can I give you my opinion?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, on Trump, why did he come to office? Many of us knew what he was. 26 sexual assaults, 11 bankruptcies. Why do you think that man would have integrity, honesty, and diplomacy to run the office? He didn't. We knew that before he got in there. This is not a surprise. This is how he lived his life. Why did he do it? Because that fear sold him into office. They were afraid of government. They were afraid of this. That's why they carry guns. That's why they do everything they do, because of fear. They drink ivermectin, cattle warmer, because they're afraid of COVID. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's like a fairy tale of reality.
You know, Bill, you're on point with the fear, and we're going to talk about what they were afraid of. At least we forget that at the time, President Barack Obama was president of the United States. And so there were people who said, never again. We're never going to let another guy like that ever get into the White House. And never mind, the question should have been, then as it is now, a guy like what? So you look at what Barack Obama did as president of the United States and why people were so fearful. What did he do that made people so fearful that they would make a decision to go out and bring in the worst man to ever hold the presidency? Without question.
Can I answer that? Can I just answer that?
Go ahead.
What drove them? There were, and I heard.
Well, there were lies. Well, number one, Bill.
But about Obama. Let's just talk about Obama.
Yeah.
People, white people, were scared to death to have a black man running this country.
I know that.
I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Now, here's why where it went. So then they just threw gas on those fires. You find 10 racists, and they can give you 20 more in about 10 minutes if they sell their fear package. You know, and Obama got so much done, and he took, to many of us, diplomacy and integrity and knowledge back to where the president's office began. So a lot of these crazies, the mega crazies, they wanted the exact opposite, and they got it in Trump.
Yeah.
The exact opposite of Obama, from good to bad, to good to evil, whatever you want to call it. The man was a great man. And they couldn't stand having another black person tell them what to do. How dare they? They grew up in these racist cultures of their family. I have no use for those people. They're ignorant. They're uneducated.
Hey, Bill.
Sorry for getting upset.
Bill. Bill, thank you. Thank you very much. Man, you know, having a person like you who was telling the truth, you know, it matters. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, we're going to discuss why Donald Trump, why people were willing to jump off the cliff to bring that guy in. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. And Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Earl, thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
In regards to Trump and everything else, you know, there's a lot of people that have been slipping through the cracks. And you mentioned this on your show numerous times. There's a lot of people in rural communities that feel lost. They're frustrated. They've lost jobs. Farmers are going out of business. And, you know, the message that he conveyed struck a chord because the average blue-collar worker in the United States has been forgotten completely. And what's happened is that as much as we're trying to...
Hey, Dave, blue-collar workers aren't just rural. How many people in the city?
I often hear
people say the rural areas. And
yes.
This is what happened to the rural people. You know how many people who live in the cities who suffered the same fate?
But that was my next thing. That, you know, we're called the Rust Belt for a reason. And the cities of Cleveland, Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago, you know, they've lost tremendous amount of manufacturing.
Right.
And so what's happened is the United States has sold itself out to China.
True.
And so
both Democrats and Republicans.
That's correct. And so what's happened is that his message was like, okay, he was the first person that said, hey, we're going to put tariffs on China and this and that and try to bring some of the jobs back. Because we have seen an erosion not only in urban America, but it has now affected rural America as well. And so at the end of the day, it's the messaging that he put out there that's why, okay, we've tried this for all these years, for decades now, and like you just said, and like I agree with you, Democrat and Republican have been both responsible for kind of hollowing out the middle class. And so here you have this individual that's actually talking about, a kitchen table issue that, millions of people, I think, would agree with.
President Obama didn't talk about that? Are you saying President Obama didn't talk about that?
To some degree.
Come on, man.
But yeah, to some degree, he was, the thing is that when the policy was really put in place, it did not, remember the shovel-ready jobs that he proposed and everything, all that? That really never kind of came to fruition.
Hey Dave, it was prevented from happening, right?
No, it got passed. There was that $1 trillion, with the infrastructure and all that other stuff. And a lot of that money, unfortunately, got outsourced and who knows what. And there's accountability. And Tom has always said, we're the people. Unfortunately, we don't know where all this money goes. And the money it's like, where do these trillions of dollars go? And why are we in such decrepit situations where you see what's happening in Jackson, Mississippi with the water supply, Flint, Michigan, Milwaukee and other places, lead pipes. I mean, it's like, holy smokes. I mean, we have focused some of the attention, but obviously not near enough to where the infrastructure in the country is falling apart.
Hey, Dave, it's because we've put so much focus on military.
We have definitely done that. There's no question.
Okay, both Democrat and Republican. So,
yeah, but we have also, keep in mind again, we have put a lot of money into infrastructure, and I just think it's, for whatever reason, and I'm not sure what the deal is, but it's like it's not going to the critical areas. It goes out in a spot where hardly anybody's going to use it, and after 5-6 years, the roads, I don't know what they do with the roads, but they're not made as well.
So Dave, I want to get back to this.
Yeah.
You were telling me why the people decided to put, a lunatic like Donald Trump in office, knowing who he was. Donald Trump can't possibly be the guy who represents the people, and about what happened with outsourcing of jobs when Donald Trump himself did the exact same thing.
The flip side is that, yes, and I agree with Bill with, the bankruptcies and everything else. The guy's got a flanderous life as well.
I know.
I mean, but on the other hand, the
other guy who was the president had a clean record. Just about. Not only did he have a clean record, cerebrally, he was brilliant.
Well, he was a great orator, no question.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but clearly, he had some ideas. He wasn't able to get them across for the most part. He also, and this was my problems with President Obama, was that he certainly delivered for the business community in this country. Which is why he got 8 years.
He really did, and that's more the corporate side, and that's where people saw that the corporate side got more of the benefits rather than the Main Street.
Okay, so that's why they brought Donald Trump.
That's one of the reasons, yeah, no question.
Did it have anything to do with the fact?
It sounds crazy, Earl. I know it sounds crazy, but you and I have been on the same page where, the average person in this country has seen decades now of where they've seen, jobs outsourced and, trade deals have gone bad. And even, with like Canada.
Hey, Dave, did you hear anything that Bill from Oconomowoc said? You don't think anything?
I caught the tail end.
Okay, so what Bill clearly stated was the fact that Obama was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there were people who just could not accept the fact that it was a black face and a black man in that position. And I do know, and you know, that there are many people who said never again.
Well, you know,
that's a fact.
There's some, but I don't look at it that way because
you don't have to look at it that way.
He got voted in very solidly. I mean, he got in there. He got millions of people that supported him. Hillary Clinton was not a popular person. Let's be honest. A lot of people disliked her. And didn't want.
So I don't want to get to Hillary Clinton. I want to get to how did we wind up that people went from Barack Obama and then went down to the bottom of the barrel as far as a guy with the worst character that there's ever almost been in the White House. And the fact that even to this day they still support that man with the horrible character. And all the other negative things that are associated with him, and somehow they want to make excuses for why they do.
Again, it's the messaging.
What's the messaging?
He's always been saying America first. And what that means is...
What does that mean, Dave?
Up. Like, we're shipping out all this money to Ukraine. No offense, but we're shipping billions of dollars to Ukraine and all these other places around the world. And that ticks off a lot of people. And so, you see that, and you see people suffering in this country. And yet, you know, it's bipartisan,
People were suffering in this country before they started shipping the money to Ukraine.
I understand that.
So
we've been exponentially doing that since then. And people see that. They're not dummies. They see that, you know, Sandy brought it up, Sandy, that you have on Mondays and Fridays. You know, all the teachers and stuff are being paid in Ukraine. Okay, why are they being paid in Ukraine, and why is that not going here? And so that frustrates
a lot of people. Who do you blame that on?
Both parties. Both parties, because at the end of the day, we have to really focus on needs first before we start helping.
I don't know if you heard any of my Dr. Michael Rosen, who I had on earlier, as we were talking about unionism and what happened there.
Well, I caught a little bit about what he was saying, Canada and France with healthcare.
Well,
I would have pushed back on him, though, with Canada first, because I would tell him to read the Montreal Gazette, and the hospitals are closing left and right there. They got all sorts of problems.
Well, but what they don't have is for-profit healthcare. And we got all kind of problems here with for-profit healthcare. So we can't point the finger at anybody else.
Well, the thing is, you look at the technology, though, that we have, a lot of the...
What good is it if you can't afford it?
No,
if you're a person who can't afford it, Medicaid
has been expanded exponentially.
Hey, Dave, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ from Stoughton. What's going on, man?
Hey, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, we reelected President Obama twice, and
we reelected him once.
We reelected him once. Yeah, elected him once. Re-elected him once, but the mere fact that we support policies that I'm a Trumpster of his policies that gave us actual prices that we could afford at the filling station.
So let me say this to you, man. Do you know right now Labor Day? Right now the gas prices. 60 cent higher than they were a year ago today. And
you know why?
And maybe, yeah, I do know why. The question becomes, do you know why?
Yeah, we're using our strategic oil reserve.
That's what it's there for.
They will refill it.
That's what it's there for. We will refill it as we've done in the past.
No, it isn't. It is not. It is not meant for that.
Hey,
it's
CJ.
Meant for our military in a crisis.
Say, CJ, it will be refilled, CJ. Okay? You think it's not going to be refilled?
By this president?
Yes.
By this president?
It'll be refilled.
No
yes, sir.
way. this president doesn't on day one early attacked our oil energy,
CJ,
our independent energy. Our Dan, have you been to the grocery store lately, Earl?
Hey, CJ, I'm going to try to retain my composure. I promised people I would. I'm not going to allow you, you know, to take me down that dark,
Take that dark place. Fast?
No, but go ahead.
Have you tried to buy food at the grocery store, Earl? Look at the cost of the grocery store.
Hey, CJ, I go to the grocery store almost every day. I go to the grocery store almost every day.
And so, you haven't seen the prices exponentially increase?
Yeah.
How about around the world? Are we safer, Earl? We're in wars now. We're supporting
wars.
What
wars? Let me ask you, CJ. Let me ask you what new wars we are in. You spit this stuff out. Now back it up.
Okay. How about Afghanistan? We walked away from that.
That's
it's
not a
disaster
war.
Now. There's famine.
CJ, you said no. You can't answer because you said we're in.
You said
we're in new wars. That's what came out of your mouth. I asked you to back it up with one new war we're in, and you jumped
to
Afghanistan.
Ukraine? How about Ukraine?
So a decision to get involved in the Ukraine war, we don't have troops there. We don't have troops there.
How many billions have we spent there?
You said wars with an S, plural. You said plural. Where's the other one?
Taiwan.
We're not in a war with Taiwan. CJ, we're not in a war. CJ, we're not in a war with Taiwan. Listen.
We're not.
Okay, so what are you talking about, man? Clearly, what are you talking about?
We're there to defend them, right, Earl? How many billions have we spent already?
How many billions of dollars did we spend in Afghanistan and Iraq under George Bush? And Donald Trump, how many?
Commander Cut and Run.
All right, hang on, man. Listen. I'm going to give you another chance to correct what everybody knows and sees as false information after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, let's go back to CJ. CJ, just whatever it is you say, man, you know, all I'm going to ask you to do is back it up with some facts. And so, the first thing you said was we're in more wars, and you couldn't back it up with any facts. So go ahead.
Well, again, thanks for taking my call, Earl, but we're sending billions of dollars supporting the war. You don't think that that's involved in it? Well, the mere fact that we're there, we're less prosperous.
We send billions of dollars all. Hey, CJ, are you aware that we send billions of dollars?
Your party.
Hey, CJ, are you aware that we send billions of dollars in wars all over the earth? Are you aware of that? That's what we do. That we financially. I asked you a question.
President caused this war.
Okay, so period.
Weakness in Afghanistan. How about those 13 lives? Would that cost?
All right. So listen, man. I can't have a conversation with you.
I'm so sick of hearing you
because
guys.
I can't have a conversation with you because you and others are defending a lunatic and a criminal. And so you back up a known liar, a known hypocrite and one of the most dangerous men on the planet. See you later, CJ. See you later, CJ.
Thank you, Earl.
So here's what I want you to understand, and not just you, but these are the reasons, some of the reasons. In 2007, a widely forwarded email went viral claiming that then-President Barack Obama hoped to replace the national anthem with Coca-Cola's 1971 advertising campaign song, "I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony." That went out via emails. The email claimed that Obama had actually said that during an appearance on Meet the Press while explaining why he didn't wear an American flag pin and refused to put his hand over his heart when the anthem was played. Maybe some of you don't remember that, but I do. Suggesting that if the Coke jingle replaced the anthem, then I might salute it. According to the email, Obama went on to say the U.S. flag should be redesigned, that the U.S. should disarm to the level of acceptance to our Middle East brethren, and that when he was president, change would quickly overwhelm the United States of America. CJ, I remember those things. From the distance of 15 years, it's easy to chalk that viral email, whose text was originally intended as satire, up as the same kind of fake news that proliferated during Donald Trump's potential campaign, with Facebook posts and websites claiming that Obama had just banned the Pledge of Allegiance or the Pope and had endorsed Trump. Now, you know, whether or not you want to hear the truth, whether you believe the truth or not, is immaterial. It really is, because the truth is out there and you don't have to go far to find it or to see it. We do know, some of us do know, the reason Donald Trump's name is even being mentioned, and the fact that he was able to ascend to the highest position in this nation and in the world. But anybody who watches him now and watches him since he was, lost the election the second time around, will see an adult child, a man who has no control over his thoughts, a man who has no control over himself, a man who does not deserve to be sitting in the most powerful seat on the planet. Anybody who can't see that, I don't know why you should be asking me to try to understand that person. I truly don't. Anybody who sees this man and hears him knows that he's dealing with some kind of emotional baggage. And how is that? And I'm not, people have emotional baggage. All of us carry some. But all of us aren't running for the presidency of the United States. And the fact that many of you still think that this man is the person, well, it's his policies. I don't support him, but, he was a bad guy and he's got all these issues, but I love his policies. Come on with that foolishness. Come on. That's not, why you support Donald Trump, his policies. As if he had the greatest policies that any president has ever put together. America first. A guy who shipped jobs outside of the country. America first coming out of his mouth. And yet you supported that because he said America first. America first is more than just saying it. It's in your actions. It's in your spirit. It's the way you hold your head. Donald Trump never represented any of those. It was not in God we trust. It was in my own pocket I trust. And he's still there. How can I benefit from whatever it is I'm doing? How can I enrich myself and my family? No. Donald Trump has never been for America first. He's always been for me first. and what I can get. And if you can't see that, then, you know, I'm not going to be able to get you to open your eyes. You're blinded. And if you can't see that, then, you know, the battle was lost for me trying to get you to open your eyes and see. But anyway, I'll be back on tomorrow. The one great thing about having a holiday on Monday is this: tomorrow's already Wednesday. And Friday will be here before you know it. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for taking the time out. Thank my guest, Dr. Michael Rosen. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. I deserve to be-